Proverbs chapter 23 is where we're going to start this morning. Proverbs chapter 23. It's kind of a thought I want to give you this morning, just maybe something. I think it's something that we can take and just meditate on. And I think the Holy Spirit does a really good job of itemizing things in our lives. And so I'm not going to do too much itemizing as far as, you know, very specific things. But as a general rule, I think this... I kind of shared this with the teens not too long ago in teen hour, and so I'm going to, it's helped me, so I'm going to maybe share with everyone else this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray that you'd guide us this morning. Help us as we look at your word. And God, I pray that it would be a help to your people. God, I pray that you guide my thoughts, guide my words. Lord, help me to only say what you'd have me to, and help the other Sunday school teachers this morning as they're teaching. I pray that you just give them a quiet spirit in their class, Lord. And I pray that they would be able to take a Bible truth and just put it on the level of children where they can understand it and grasp it and take it and apply it. And God, I thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house this morning. Bless Pastor this morning in a special way, and thank you for just to bless him, allowing him to already get that moose. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, help him as he ministers to the Warrens and then also to the villages up there. I pray that you bless him. Help Brother Nichols, he preaches this morning. I pray that you fill him with your power. Thank you for him and his family. Lord, I pray that you just bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 23, one of these passages I read through Proverbs pretty much every month, and I do the chapter a day as just part of the Bible reading I do. And so I don't know how many times I've read Proverbs chapter 23, and I've always, you know, I guess you just, there's parts of the Bible that you just read and it becomes a very commonplace. If somebody started with many verses in the book of Proverbs, if somebody started the verse, I could finish the verse for them. Now, if you ask me, what does Proverbs 23:6 say? I couldn't tell you what Proverbs 23:6 says. But you start the verse, and I could probably finish it for you. So it's a very commonplace verse for me, or these verses in Proverbs chapter 23. But this morning, I want to look at it and just give you something to think about, a challenge. And so Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 1 and 2, or we'll just look at a few here. Proverbs chapter 23, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler," all right? So let's look at that statement. "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler." Now, most of us, none of us, I don't think, in this room are wealthy people, okay? We're just commonplace, you know, American, you know, I would say middle class. And somebody asked me the other day, "What do you consider your location? You know, upper class, middle class?" And I'm like, honestly, probably poverty level. not that we're, I mean, compared to most of the world, we are very wealthy. We're very rich people. But in comparison to a lot of metropolises and stuff like that, Jacksonville and Greene County is not like, you know, it probably doesn't even make the top, you know, 75% in you know, the state of Indiana or whatever. If you look at the demographics, this area is a lower income area. And but I said that to say that, you know, we don't normally sit down, and it's not like we have all these luxury things that we eat, you know, potatoes and meat, and those things go a long way, and you can feed a lot of kids with rice and beans and those type of things. So it's not that we don't have things that we enjoy that we might spend a little extra money on sometimes, but by and large, it's not like we have all these specialty foods made. Now, I am not, I tell people all the time, I'm not a foodie, okay? And some people are like, they just love fancy food. That's not me, okay? I took my wife on a date. It's basically, we went and delivered a freezer and went to Lowe's, or I forget where we went, Menards, Lowe's. We went to both. That's a good date night. When you go to both of them, that's an epic date night, all right? So Graham Grain and Lowe's and Menards, I think, is where we went. That was the sum of our date night. And I'm not one that just is like, oh, I got to have this steak, or I got to go to, you know, a steakhouse to get this fancy food. We typically go to, like, Chick-fil-A, okay? Now, is it good food? Yeah, it's good food. And I think we got out of there for $21. So I'm, you know, 10 bucks a piece, which in today's economy, $10 for a meal. I mean, you can't hardly go to McDonald's and get a meal for 10 bucks. So, you know, and we go and I get my food, and I am not the person that goes and stands in line for, you know, I get anxious when I start, you know, you go and they take your order and an hour later they finally bring you your food. That's a waste of an hour of my life. Honestly, you say, well, it was really good food. Worth an hour of my life plus the extra hour it cost and you know, of my wages it cost me to, you know. And it kills me because they always send it, you know, they give you this big plate and they put it on a little thing. And then they think by putting a few pieces of grass on top of it that it's worth more money. All right. And it's not. Okay. It's not worth any more than my Chick-fil-A sandwich. Okay. And it fills me up the same. Now, you say, bro, Chad, I just really like this certain food. Okay, you know. But I'm just saying that typically we're not sitting to eat with a ruler. Okay? We're not sitting to eat with a ruler. Look at verse number 6. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou what? His dainty meats. Okay? That's that specialty stuff I'm talking about, all right? Those things that, yeah, it's a treat every once in a while, but it's not like it's an everyday occurrence, okay? And so when I'm thinking about this, you know, the first verse here, when thou sittest eat with a ruler, these are things that you may not normally get, all right? You know, listen, when I go to McDonald's with my family or we go wherever, I don't buy them, and this is just me, if you do something different, you know, that's your decision. We don't get value meals. You know, the value meals are the most invaluable thing on the menu. Honestly, I mean, we are like the dollar, you know, used to be dollar. Now it's, you know, two for $3. You know, I don't know how they've increased all this, but, you know, we're buying a McChicken. You know, I'm going to McDonald's and I'm ordering, you know, can I have 12 McChickens, please? But that's the cheapest way I have to eat, okay? And, you know, 12 McChickens and 3 Cokes, all right? And we all split them. And so me and the whole dainty meat thing, I understand because I'm not the dainty meat person. I just need some food to keep me going, okay? That's kind of my take on food. Now, like I said, everybody, Brother Ali was telling me, what is the things you like? He was telling me on a cruise sometime. Escargot. He was telling me about escargot, and I was like, you know, sounds like a fancy food, you know, stuff like that. You know, he likes it. And like I said, he was telling me the other day about he was looking forward to going home because Mrs. Ali had made roast and potatoes and stuff. That's their normal thing. But when they're out and he has the opportunity, he likes the escargot. And I was like, oh, yeah, what is it? And he's like, it's snails. I was like, snails, like snail, you know, slurp it out of the shell, snail. And he's like, oh yeah, it's great. I'm like, okay, you can have your dainty meats. All right. Me and that dainty, that's a little too dainty for me. All right. And so I'm like, you know, okay. So different people have different things. Some people, like, you know, they like the sushi. They like all this, you know, the special, and there's probably people in here you like trying different stuff. Me, you know, I go to the same restaurant and inevitably I order the same thing every time. You know why? I know what I'm getting, all right? And I know if it's something's off in it, I know it's off, right? You know, I mean, how do you know something's wrong if you get something different all the time? You know what I mean? You know, and it's like you pick up a sandwich and there's hair in it and you've never had it before. How do you know that that wasn't supposed to be part of the sandwich? So I think just consistency, getting the same thing all the time, is it's good for your health, all right? So we have this ruler here, and he's got, you know, and the Bible says, consider diligently what is before thee. I promise you, I'm going somewhere with all this. You know, the Bible says, consider diligently what is before thee. You know, and that's what it says is, you know, look at what's in front of you, all right? And a few verses down, a few verses farther, it says, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Okay, now why, Brother Chad, should I not desire? Because, and here's the, if the one word that we're going to probably come back to multiple times this morning is, because if you're not careful, you'll develop an appetite. An appetite. Because it's nothing, in most things in life, it's not necessarily wrong to have this or have that or have this. But if you're not careful, you'll develop an appetite for something. Remember, who are we sitting to eat with? A ruler. Do we have the money of the ruler? No. Do you have the ability to provide yourself with those dainty meats? Like I said, I'm not looking around and seeing millionaires in here, okay? No. So you don't have the ability to do what he has and to have what he has. But if you're not careful, you develop an appetite for something that you're not able to get. Okay? Does that make sense? And so when the Bible says, consider, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Verse 2 is probably, if we had a text verse, this is probably it. The Bible says, and put a knife to thy throat. Now that's a pretty drastic statement here. Okay? Put a knife to thy throat, what? If thou be a man given to appetite. If thou be a man given to appetite. Verse 3. Be not desirous of his dainties. Why? For they are what? Deceitful meat. Deceitful meat. You know what the Bible is telling us here is you need to be able to control your appetites, not your appetites control you. Because if we're not careful as Christians, the world throws all kinds of those dainty meats in front of us. All right? There's tons of them out there. And when I'm not talking about food necessarily, I'm talking about the things that the world throws out in front of us that if we're not careful, you can develop an appetite for. Okay? You start watching certain things on TV. And you know what you're doing? I know it's not the food, but the principle still applies. You start watching certain things on TV, and before long, you're starting to want what those people want. Or want what those people have. Let me put it that way. Okay? Well, is there anything, Brother Chad, is there anything wrong with watching one of these, you know, house flipping shows? No. Except for the fact that if you're not careful, you begin to desire what someone else has. Without having the finances or the ability to have that. And listen, it can get you in a lot of trouble. So, Brother Chad, something as simple as a house flipping show? Yeah. You realize that most of those shows, okay, think about the budgets that most of these people are talking about. You know, I've watched a couple of them, and they irritate me, so I've quit watching anything. I don't really have time to watch much TV anyway. So, but I've watched a few of these, and they're talking about, you know, they're going and looking, and what's your budget? Oh, $1.5 million. $1.5 million? Okay, and it's like, all right, what? And that's honestly, that's probably not, that's not an uncommon thing. A lot of them are $600,000-$700,000, and then they're like, well, yeah, and then we'll do a remodel, and that's another $300,000. Oh, that's a really nice chandelier. I love that chandelier. And you start going shopping, and it's, you know, a $3,000 chandelier. Okay, and you say, Brother Chad, that's extreme. No, it's not. It's not extreme. Because if you're not careful, you keep watching the same thing and you keep seeing other people. What is that? You're sitting to eat with a ruler. And you're starting to desire dainty meats. Now, that's an extreme. But we can put it back into our realm. Okay? You start going and you start looking. The word covetousness comes to mind. You know, just because someone else has something doesn't mean that you should have it, or you could even have it. Okay? But if we're not careful, I know me, if I'm not careful, I start looking at things, and if I don't control my appetites and allow my appetites to control me, I start making really bad decisions. Based on what I saw, and oh man, I really need that. Okay? Hey, it could be as simple as, you know, I'm watching the same thing on the Outdoor Channel all the time. Oh man, I just love to go do that.
Right?
I mean, you could. Oh man, that's a really nice gun. I would love to have that gun. And everyone's talking about this new gun or this new caliber or this new this or this new that. And it's like, well, I got to get one of those.
Right.
And then you go in and you spend money that God allowed us to be stewards. What if we spend money as a steward on what God doesn't give us the money for? And then we're like, God, I'm short of money. It's like, God gave you that money. What did you use it for? For dainty meats? Or, you know, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Okay? Now, I understand it all happens to all of us, but if we're not careful, we allow the appetites of our life to control us instead of us controlling our appetites. All right? And so, I believe it's very important for us to learn how to control those appetites. Yeah, it's not wrong to have something nice every once in a while. But I don't think God intended for us to live that way.
Right.
Okay? And honestly, listen, folks, it's not healthy to live that way.
Right.
You know what your flesh typically wants is not what's good for you.
Right.
What your flesh... I love chocolate. My mom makes the best chocolate chip cookies. Like, if I can... We get bus treats, okay, no offense to other ladies that make chocolate chip cookies, right? But we get bus treats, and I'm driving the bus. I don't ever see the box, right? But I can tell you when I'm eating my mom's chocolate chip cookies, okay? I just know it. I know that there's just something different. I don't know what she does, all right? She throws a little love in there or something. I don't know what it is. But they're good, okay? But you can't live on chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
Newsflash! You serious, Brother Chad? No, you can't live on chocolate chip cookies. You know, there's just some things in life that, yeah, it's really good. Miss Dawn has been, she's been a huge blessing on our work day. She's been bringing, I don't know what to call them. They're like fluffy, heavenly desserts. They're cool, you know, we're hot, they're nice and cool, and they're loaded with sugar. All right? And she's been, I mean, it's a diabetic's nightmare, okay? But, they're wonderful. And she's bringing, but you know what? If all you did is you come in on a work day and that's all you ate, the next 2 hours would be rough. Okay? I mean, you'd be shaky. You'd be lightheaded. You wouldn't be able to work. Okay? You know what? Yeah, it's nice to have after your sandwich or after the meal. It's nice to have that. But that's not what you live on. Okay? That's not what we live on. So, Brother Chad, what are some things? All right? How do we control our appetites? How do we make sure that we are controlling our appetites and not our appetites are controlling us? Okay? First of all, it's just real simple. Learn to say no.
Right.
Learn to say no. Not everything in life that's put in front of you, okay? What did the Bible say here? When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Look at it. Not everything that's put on the table are you know, unless you're a child, not everything that's put on the table are you required to eat. Although, I would say most kids don't have a problem eating the dainty meats part. Okay, it's the broccoli that comes before the dessert. That's what they have a problem eating. Okay, and so it's not the fact that the things that keep us, the appetites that we have to have, It's the appetites that we're choosing to have. And so we got to learn to say no. We all say we're disciples of Christ, but we are probably the most undisciplined generation of Christians out there. Listen, if you can't learn to say, if you can't learn to say no to a Twinkie, and I am being somewhat facetious here, but if you can't learn to say no to a Twinkie, how are you going to learn to say no when the devil brings you something that's a big deal? I tell the teen boys all the time, listen, there's just times in your life when you learn to tell your body and you need to learn to tell yourself no. Whether you want it or not, you just got to tell yourself no. That's called a discipline. And we say, well, we're a disciple of Christ. We're a follower of Christ. All right? Are you? You know, the whole being a disciple, you know, kind of has the whole word disciple. All right? That's part of being a disciple, is a discipline that you have in your life. Okay? We've got so many Christians that just, they can't say no to anything. I'm there sometimes. You just, whatever your flesh wants, whatever you want. You know, you want something to drink, so what do we do? What do? We go get something to drink. Yeah, but Brother Chad, that's important for your health. You know, you got to stay hydrated. So going to the gas station and buying a Mountain Dew is staying hydrated. No, you know what that is? That's just, you kind of had a craving and so you went, maybe you were thirsty, but it didn't really help you to go to the gas station and buy a Mountain Dew. Right? I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, I understand you got to stay hydrated, you know, but, you know, your kids come in and, Mom, can I have a snack? I'm starving. Now, I've seen all of our kids. I've seen a lot of, I mean, I don't think your daughter is starving, right? You know, as much as she thinks, you know, as much as Ryan and Kara tell her that you're going to be okay, making it to the next mealtime can be traumatic, right? But she's not, I've seen her. She's not starving, right? Okay. But you know, Micah's probably the worst grazer in our family. You know what I mean by grazer? Like, it's like he never stops eating, okay? And he's the worst. Mom, I'm dying. No, you're not. You're perfectly fine. I gotta have a drink, okay? And Brett Chad, you're denying your children a drink? Yeah. Sometimes. Why? Because he needs to learn that it's okay to tell yourself, no, I'm going to wait another hour because supper's going to be ready in an hour. I need to wait an hour for supper. Okay? Why? Because you know really what he wants? He wants just something to feed his appetite at the moment. All right? A lot of the appetites we have in our life, it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing at the wrong time. Okay? The relationship between a man and a woman, that's not a bad thing. But it's a bad thing at the wrong time. And if you're not careful, a young person develops an appetite. A young man wants to say, well, I want to have a relationship with a young lady. And he starts developing an appetite. And instead of telling himself no, what does he do? You feed that appetite. Okay? You know the whole thing, one of the worst things about pornography is it gives you an appetite that can never be fulfilled. It gives you an appetite that can never be fulfilled. If you don't say no, okay? Listen, I'm sorry, but I would say that by and large, most pornography is done by probably supermodels. Okay? It's giving somebody an appetite for something that what I would say is a normal lady can never fulfill for that person. And then you're going to have problems because you're never satisfied. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But the problem with appetites is they never stop wanting. They never stop grasping for your attention. Oh man, I really want that. But if you're not careful, that appetite starts to control you, and you can't control that appetite anymore. All right? Now, nobody wants to talk about that stuff, but we're losing men. We're losing men all over the place because they've got uncontrolled appetites. They're dropping like flies. Go to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Many strong men have been cast down.
Right.
Hey, it's happening, folks. Why? Because we can't learn to say no to something that we want.
Right.
Well, is there anything wrong? Brother Chad, there's nothing wrong with the Twinkie. I'm coming back to that. There's nothing wrong with a Twinkie. You're right. But you should learn to say no to it every once in a while.
Right.
All right? There's... I take our boys, you know, we go camping. I take the team boys. We've got another one probably scheduled here end of October. I think we're going on a river trip this year again. And the river trips are a little different, we found. But one of the things is when we go, we don't take any food with us. Okay? Now, some people tout, you know, we're going to camp and they got the best food possible. Me, we're going to camp and we have no food. All right? But you know what? And I'll tell you this. Young men will tell more stories about having no food than they'll ever tell about the food that they did have. Mark it down. I promise you. Ask them about it. Ask them about their camp. Oh yeah, we had these great hamburgers. Did you ever hear that? Ask them about their food. No, we was starving. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. We finally shot this squirrel, and we cut it all apart, and we skinned it, and there was hair all over it, and we couldn't wait because we were starving. So we cooked it over the fire until it was, you know, rare, like blood still dripping out of it. And we're, you know, we're like, I mean, they're like Neanderthals sitting around a fire. They are. I promise you. I should take a video sometime of these guys. They're, you know, they're trying to clean a squirrel for the first time in their life. There's hair all over it. They don't have enough water to wash the meat off because they got to go draw their water out of something and then boil their water. Hey, when you don't just have it coming out of a faucet, water is a little more precious, okay? And then they're, you know, they're dying. They've been 24 hours without food and they think they're dying. All right? But you know, one of the best things for them is just to be able to say, I'm good. I don't have to have that. What are you trying to teach them, Brother Chad? I'm trying to teach them to deny themselves some. Because if a young man can't learn to deny himself as a young man, he's going to have a big problem when he gets to be an adult. Because he doesn't have mom and dad standing there saying, you can't have that. He has everything he wants. Listen, he's got his phone, not my phone, but he's got his phone and he has access to anything he wants to feed his appetites. And young men, older men, listen to me. This is the most dangerous thing that you can carry around. I'm telling you, this is the most dangerous thing you can carry around because you have unlimited access to any appetite that you want. And no one's there to say otherwise. I'm telling you. What's happened? Many strong men have been cast down. Many mighty men have been wounded. Their shame and reproach shall never be wiped away. That's what the Bible says. What does it come to? Just because we've never learned to say no to our appetites. Okay? And like I said, it can be a simple thing, folks. I don't know how many years ago, whenever we remodeled this auditorium the last time, so however many years ago that was, I was working crazy amount of hours trying to get it knocked out. And I was drinking Mountain Dew like by the 12-pack. I drank a 12-pack in a day of Mountain Dew. Now, is there anything wrong with it in and of itself? Could be debated, all right? Probably is. But don't give me this, all right, just a side note. Don't give me your zero sugar Mountain Dew story, all right? That stuff will kill you faster than the other stuff, okay? That's just I'm just throwing that out there to the wind and let the Holy Spirit work, all right? Sorry, I just had to go there. Do you know they embalm people with the same... No, never mind, I won't go there. They embalm people with the same stuff you're putting in your Mountain Dew. But anyway, so I would drink a 12-pack of... Sorry. I drink a 12-pack of Mountain Dew, and I got sick. And I was like, I'm not drinking any more of that. And you know what? I was like, I'll just quit drinking pop. I just quit drinking pop. And however long that's been, you know what? I haven't drank pop. Now, every once in a while, and I take that back. My wife got me onto this thing where she takes like ginger ale and mixes it like 50-50 with like some kind of juice. And it's actually really good. And I'll do that sometimes. So I have, it kind of eases my conscience. I got half juice and half carbonated beverage, okay? But it's really good. So I'll do that every once in a while. So I can't say I have not drank pop at all, okay? So I'm standing in the pulpit. This is the truth. Don't you love it when they say, I'm telling you a true story? It's like, well, what else would you be telling us, right? But you know, for me, is there anything, Brother Chad, could you go and get a pop every once in a while? Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Okay, I don't see any Bible thing. But for me, it's a really good opportunity in my life just to tell myself, no, you don't need that. Okay? You don't need that. Just tell yourself no. All right? Learn to say no, folks. Just learn to discipline. Find something in your life that maybe it's not wrong, but find something in your life that you can practice self-discipline. Okay? You know one thing I really have a hard time practicing self-discipline with? Really, really hard time? Is tools. I know. I was looking at tools last night. You know why I was looking at tools? Because it would make my job easier. I have to finish a whole bunch of drywall in like 3 days. And I was looking at tools to help me finish drywall. $300 for this. All it is an extension bolt. That's all it is, $300. But it makes my job a whole lot easier. All right? And you know what I did? You'd be proud of me. You know what I did last night? I had it in the cart. In the cart. And you know what I did last night? I told myself no. I exited out. You know why? You know why I told myself no? Because I had my Bible. I was sitting on my bed, right? And I had my Bible with my Sunday school lesson sitting here. This is terrible, okay? I had my Bible with my Sunday school lesson here. Come on. And I had my iPad in my lap on top of my Bible looking at extension books. Okay, maybe I'm too transparent here, but this is the depth of my spirituality, right? But it was for the church. It was for the church. I was looking at tools for the church for me to buy. And so I'm looking, and I thought, you ding dong, what are you teaching about tomorrow morning? Telling yourself no. So you know what I did? I exited out of the level 5 page. And I told myself no last time. I know. And I'll buy it tomorrow. But at least I didn't do it. I did tell myself no. And but it is. There's going to be something in your life. Hey, it could be, like I said, it could be a lot of different things. It could be food. And like I said, we need to practice on the things that aren't important. That way, when something comes up that is important, you've already got the disciplines of life that say, no, I don't need that. If you practice shutting your phone off when something bad comes up, I don't know why. I mean, I'm on Marketplace looking, you know, for tools. And I'm on Marketplace looking for tools or whatever, and randomly some ad will come up of something that no guy ought to be looking at. Just randomly come up. I wasn't looking for it. But you know what? If you start feeding it, what happens when the real thing comes up? That simple man that's walking down the street, and the Bible says she caught him and kissed him. Okay? Yeah, he was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. But he didn't go knocking on her door. Okay? Listen, folks, we got to learn to say no. We got to learn to say no. You realize the worst time to eat is when you're hungry?
Done.
Brother Chad, that's kind of a misnomer. The worst time to eat is when you're hungry. Okay? And what I mean by that is if you're not careful, you let your appetite dictate what you want to eat. Okay? The worst time to go to, and what I mean by that, okay, if I'm starving, and I say starving.
Right.
I'm using that term loosely. If I'm really hungry and I go to town, okay, and I'm like, man, I'm kind of shaky, I need to get something to eat, and I go through the drive-thru, that is the worst time for me to go get something to eat. Yeah, could I have 3-quarter pounders with cheese, 2 large fries, and, you know, a milkshake?
Right.
Why? Why did I do that? Because I felt that I needed that.
Right.
And about, you know, I get 1-quarter pounder and the large fry down and half the milkshake, and then what happened to the rest of it? I don't know if McDonald's is good for the refrigerator stage. But honestly, it very well could go to waste. So when you're hungry is actually the really bad time to go eat, if that makes sense. Okay? That leads me to my second thing, and I think this will make sense. And we'll have to go. But first of all, learn to say no. Secondly, stay full. Stay full. If you're full, you don't have any desire to eat, right? I mean, that's kind of the way God made us. If your appetites are fulfilled, you don't have any desire to go get other stuff. My wife has refused to take me grocery shopping anymore because she shops by a list. I shop by appetite. Right? And you guys don't look at me all pious, because the same thing is probably true in a lot of your lives too, okay? You're walking down the aisle and your wife has this shopping list, okay? And she's like, this is where we got to go. But in the course of walking down the aisle, there's all kinds of things out there. And she's walking down the chip aisle. Well, you know what's on the chip aisle? Cookies are on the chip aisle too. Okay, and she's walking down the chip aisle because she's got to get chips for lunches, and I'm like, oh, that's a new kind of Oreo. We got to have those. And we went on a thing. We went to the air show not too long ago, got away for a weekend, and we went to this air show, and our tickets said that we got a free meal. The free meal constituted a hot dog. Okay, that's what it was a hot dog, okay? And I'm sitting out here, in 90-degree weather, full sun, okay? And I'm watching airplanes, you know, going by. And finally, I'm like, man, I'm hungry. So I went and I got this hot dog, okay? And I ate this hot dog. And that filled up like 1/4 of my stomach down here. So the other 3/4 of my stomach was begging for more food. And then my wife said, well, we need to go get some groceries. Remember what I just said about the worst time to eat is when you're hungry? Okay? So she's like, we need to go get groceries. Like, and we're going to be there for like one night and the next morning. So we go get groceries, and like $75 later, okay? And I had pizzas, I had nachos, I had bought jars of jalapeno because I can't have my nachos without jalapenos. I mean, I bought like 3 tubs of ice cream, 2 packages of breakfast burritos. I mean, I was good to go, right? You know, the problem was, is I went shopping for something while I was hungry. You know, we ended up eating like 1/3 of that. And I had to load the rest. So I had to rent a U-Haul truck because I had to come home. Couldn't find any cars for rent to come home. So I rented a U-Haul truck to come home. So me and my U-Haul truck, and I had a duffel bag sitting in the front seat, and then my groceries that was left over. And I drove a U-Haul truck home from Ohio with my leftover groceries, right? Brother Chad, why did you do that? Because I had to get home, so we drove a U-Haul truck home. odd moments of life. But why did you get all this food, Brother Chad? Because I went shopping when I was hungry. If I would have went shopping when I was full, I'd been like, I'll just stay in the car. You can go get the groceries. No, I wanted to go. I wanted to see the food. I wanted to see what we're getting. And then I'm stuck with, you know, 3 grocery bags full of food left over. All right? Hey, stay full. Men, let's make sure our wives have what they need. Okay? Ladies, let's make sure your husband has what he needs. Because if he's full, why would he go looking for anything else? If he has everything that he needs, why would he go look for anything else? Does that make sense? All right? Stay full. Hey, if you have a problem with something, go over here and invest it. Invest your time into this. Well, I have a problem with this, or I have problem on my, you know, I spend too much time on my phone. You got to find something else to spend your time on.
Right.
You can't spend time on both of them. Well, I have a problem with bad music. Then you need to start listening to good music. Because you can't listen to 2 kinds of music at the same time. Okay? If you have problems with something, go over here and fill up with this. That way there's nothing left. No room left for the bad stuff. All right? The children of Israel got upset. You can go to Numbers chapter, I'll give you the reference. Numbers chapter 11, Exodus chapter 16. The children of Israel got upset. And you know, when they got discontent, they said, oh, I wish I could go back to Egypt. Why did they want to go back to Egypt? Because of the flesh pots and the leeks and the garlics. They forgot about the taskmasters. Listen to me. All that the children of Israel thought about was the appetites that they had developed in Egypt and were willing to go back to the taskmasters just to fulfill their appetites. And if we're not careful, we'll develop appetites and then we have to pay the piper. You're either going to control your appetite or your appetite's going to control you. Let's choose to control our appetites. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this short lesson, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in each of our lives. God, I know I struggle with this sometimes, God, and just so many things that just seems to draw and to pull and to grab our attention. And if we're not careful, Lord, we allow those things to control us instead of controlling them. And God, I pray that you'd help the services this morning, help Brother Nichols as he preaches, just fill him with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.